My heart has been stirred in these recent days to realize that we don't always receive at once hearing what is given to us. There are some messages that I listen to on CD or on DVD, and I can say that some I've listened to at least 10 times, and still there is something fresh. And we don't get hold of things at the first hearing. And therefore, I'm going to go to a subject that I visited almost 2 years ago. The subject is, what is man? What are you? What is the real you? When I use the word man, I mean at all times in this subject, mankind. It includes men and women. What is mankind? In Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4, I'll use as my text to center our thoughts on Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than Elohim. Most Bibles have translated that to say angels. Well, in the Hebrew, it was Elohim. And we know that Elohim is the name of God. We're not a little lower than angels. We're just a little lower than God. These thoughts are not easy to take on board because of the culture we live in, because of the media around us. It's very difficult to understand without compromise what the Bible teaches on these subjects. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we have these powerful words. When God had made the heavens and the earth. By the way, have you noticed that God didn't go about making man and then saying, oh, what's he going to eat? What's he going to wear? God made everything that was necessary before the point of need. God made the world and all that is in it. And in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The only thing that he didn't include in the dominion was other men. And society today ignores the fact that we're to have dominion over all those things listed, but he wants to have dominion over man. How we've got things the wrong way around. In verse 28 of Genesis 1, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It was God's intention for man to have dominion. Adam was put there as a perfect being made in the image and likeness of God. And I want us to understand this morning that Adam was perfect when God made him. He was made in the image and the likeness of God. Adam didn't have any handicaps. He didn't have difficulty knowing what to do because he was one in spirit with God. Most of us know that when he succumbed to the temptations of the devil, he lost his fellowship with God. He lost communion. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And spiritual death came upon him. He didn't stop breathing. He died spiritually. Because the Bible tells us that God is spirit. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we are spirit. I am not what you see. What you see is my body. And what you see comes through some of your five senses. God gave to us our senses so that we didn't get into trouble before we got right with God, before we renewed our spirit. Perhaps I'm going a little bit too fast. You see, before man fell, he had communion with God. He was spirit communicating with spirit. And that was how he lived. Until he committed treachery, didn't he? He became a traitor to God and he succumbed to the temptation of the devil. He did what God told him not to do. And at that point, he needed his five senses because he didn't have the spirit connection to live by. And the five senses are much less necessary when we have leading by the Spirit, when we have connection with God's Spirit, when we are born again, we are recreated, we become a new creature. The Bible says the old is gone and the new has come. We are a spirit. We live in a body. And we have a soul. You see, every spirit needs a body. Whether it's a good spirit or a bad spirit. You find that evil spirits come and they take over a person to do that which is evil. That's why today we have murders and rapes. And people taking substances. It's because a spirit needs a body to work through. Just as God's spirit needs a body to work through. And I volunteer readily to the Holy Spirit to work through me. See, a spirit needs a body. So therefore, your body is the vessel for your spirit. And you have a soul which is primarily your five senses. We see, we hear, we taste, we smell. We have these senses and we've been brought up to be governed by them, to be led by them. But God's intention is for you to be led by your spirit, not by your feelings. When a consultant told me that I had angina, I said, I don't have angina. I wasn't rude enough to say it to his face, but I never said that I had angina. I said that by his stripes I am healed. I said that he has taken all of my sin and all of my sickness in his body on the cross. And I didn't permit my senses to govern what I said. Because as we all know, words are creative. Words are powerful. And if we put into words what we feel, then we give legs to those words. So I am a spirit. I live in a body, and it is my spirit that is born again. It is in the God class. I want you to get hold of that. That your spirit is the God class because it was made in his image, in his likeness. Your God class. You're eternal. You're eternal because you are spirit. Okay, the body that your spirit lives in won't live forever, but your body isn't you. And I want you to get hold of this. It's so important that you are in the God class. You are eternal. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall live eternally. It's because it's the Spirit that is born again. It's the Spirit that lives forevermore. When Adam fell, his spirit became subordinate to his feelings, to his senses, to his sight, and what he heard. His spirit was put in second place to his senses. And this morning, each one of us that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord needs to understand that at the new birth, then our senses became subordinate to the Spirit. And what we feel and what we see, it may be a fact, but it's not always the truth. Because our feelings, our senses, our taste is subordinate to our spirit. We feed our spirit by the Word of God, as we all know. And what the Word says is final authority. If the Bible says that Jesus took all my sin in his body on the cross, then I believe that he took all my sin because it's final authority. If the Bible says that he took all my sicknesses in his body, then I believe that he took them all. And I don't believe in trying to take what Jesus has already taken. That would be foolishness. I don't accept it. I don't own it. And it's the same with so many things in life. People speak themselves into poverty by saying, I would never do that. I can't do that. It's their senses that are ruling them instead of their spirit. The Bible says that I am blessed and that the blessing of Abraham is upon me. In Genesis chapter 12 and 16 and 18 and 22, It talks about the blessings of Abraham that are available to us who are the seed of Abraham. And Galatians 3, as you know, tells us that we are children of Abraham if we are born again. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Your reason is the voice of your mind, and your feelings are the voice of your body. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit, the real me. My conscience is my spirit. My reason is the voice of my mind, what I think, what I understand with the mind, and my feelings are the voice of my body. Now, some might say, well, where does the new birth come into this then as regards conscience? Well, we have a prime example of this when Paul went before the high priest, Agrippa. Paul said to Agrippa, now we all know that up to this point, Paul had been responsible for the murder of many, many Christians. He held the courts of those who stoned Stephen to death. He was involved in so many murders of Christians. He stood before King Agrippa and he said that I have lived to this point with a clear conscience. How could he say that? How could he say that his conscience was clear, having been responsible for so many murders? It was because he was referring to the old man, the unregenerated spirit, whose conscience allows you to be a terrorist. The conscience of the unregenerate will allow you to be a murderer. You see, it depends whether your spirit is born again or not born again as to your conscience, how it works. I hope that is helpful for you. Paul said to Ananias in Acts chapter 23, I lived in all good conscience, the voice of a spiritually dead man. But the real man is the man that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, where he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, all things have become new. That's the Bible. If any man is in Christ Jesus, you're not only a sinner saved by grace. You're a recreated, you're a new person. When my wife and I went to buy a Ford Fiesta for her to travel about in, to use for her responsibilities, we went to the garage, we looked at this car, and we thought, yes, it's suitable. It was made by Ford, and it was intended to be a Ford. And many, many years later, it is still a Ford. And that vehicle will never become a Rolls Royce. I know I have a friend who has a Bentley. And that Bentley was made a Bentley. It wasn't made a Ford. It wasn't transformed from a Ford Fiesta into a Bentley. You see, we have been made a new creation. We have been made in the likeness of God. We have been made a new person. The spirit that is within the born-again person is the same spirit that was in Adam before the fall. Life wouldn't be difficult if there weren't so many evil forces that are trying to persuade us through our senses that it doesn't work. But it does work. Because God sent his Son to the cross where he shed his blood. You see, for God's Spirit to come to this earth, it needed a body. And that body was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived and walked on this earth. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, the Bible says, and yet without sin. But when he went to the cross, he became sin. He was made sin. It isn't that he sinned. He didn't sin. He was made sin in my place and your place. That body had to be sacrificed because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And up until that point, centuries had gone by where bulls and goats and animals had been slain to cover people's sin. And they had a covering, and every year they came back for a new covering. Friends, my sin hasn't been covered, it's been done away with. To be remembered against me, no more forever. We used to sing a chorus when I was a young boy in Sunday school. And it said, when God forgives, he forgets. Well, that is not true. Because to forget is a weakness of man. I am often reminded of things that I forget. Particularly when I'm at home. God doesn't forget something that he can be reminded of. He says, I will remember your sin no more forever. And forever goes on and on and on eternally. He will not be reminded of it. And some of us try to remind God of our sin. I've vigorously tried to remind God many times of some of the reasons why I can't. And God says, I don't know what you're talking about. You're a new creature. And if you're born again this morning, you're a new creature. You're in the God class. You are eternal. You need to get hold of it. You are eternal. Okay, the body sometimes decays. There are not many bodies here that were about when Jesus was here. But the spirit is eternal. And the real you is going to live on forever and evermore. When we can worship our sovereign God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. It's always good to compare different versions of the Bible, because some make it easier to understand, but some dilute it. My New King James that I like so much, it says that we might become. That would suggest a transferring or a change. The King James Version says that we were made the righteousness of God. when we were recreated, the new person, he wasn't made a Ford. He was made a Rolls Royce, if you want an earthly analogy. You were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us to put off the old man and put on the new. Have you put on the new man? Let's turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. I know I've said before, but it's a good thing to go through the Bible looking at how many 3:16s there are. Most people know John 3:16. Well, there's a lot of really good 3:16s, and Ephesians is one of them. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's the real you. The real you, the spirit you. It's not a heart that pumps blood around that is changed. It's the real you, the inner man. In another place, he calls you the new man. But here in Ephesians, he says, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. The real you that lives inside the body was recreated. It was made the righteousness of God. It wasn't made a Ford Fiesta. It was made the righteousness of God. Those of us that have been born again have been made the righteousness of God. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, the body isn't the real me. It's the spirit that's the real me. And I present my body a living, not a dead, a living sacrifice. I say no to the flesh, that I might say yes to the spirit in me. Blessed be his name. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Holy Spirit makes his residence in the new creation. It's not in the old man. It's not in the body. It's in the inner man, the spirit you, that the Holy Spirit dwells. You are in the God class this morning. He is spirit. I am spirit because I'm in his class. He is eternal. Man is an eternal being. Significant word, isn't it? It's being. It's continuous. It's continuing. You are a being. Human being. Man is capable of receiving the nature of God. You can say to yourself, I am capable of receiving God's nature because His Spirit is within me. Don't allow the enemy to hoodwink you into thinking this is too difficult. It isn't difficult. Because we have been made in the image and the likeness of God, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. E.W. Kenyon said, "It is deeply important that you understand this fact. It is the recreated spirit that convicts of sin in the believer, and our conscience is his voice speaking to our reason." It's our conscience which is his voice speaking to our reason. The Spirit of God within us, within the recreated person, the believer, that tells us what is right. It's not the law. We're not here to keep the law. We have been redeemed from the law, the curse of the law. We have been set free and become the righteousness of God. Friends, this morning, can you grasp hold of the truth that you are in the God class? Man is capable of becoming a son of God because you are a spirit being. If you were only a body, you're only a son of your parents. You're only come from the seed of your father. If you were only a body. But I am a spirit. Therefore, I am capable of becoming a son of God. And I have become a son of God at the new birth. I think we'll leave it at that for now. I hope you've got something from it. I'll pursue this evening in the traditional style, and I trust that you can take on board the truth of what God has done for you and that you are the God class this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We receive it into our heart and mind and soul. We choose to have the mind of Christ, and we will live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. We make a quality decision this morning, Father, that we will walk in the Spirit. Amen.